Now, here's a situation we're all in. I'm 55. You know, let's say that I want to tap into Social Security at 65. I'm not sure it's going to be there. If we prolong people's lives, we may give them a good health life. What's happening worldwide economically? And I'm wondering if medicine thinks about this or has to think about this, where all of a sudden the lifespan of a human being goes from 70-ish to 90-ish or 121, as you say in your book. But the economies of the world are so screwed up, they can't sustain people. There are people, Dr. Klatz, who would love to see this planet reduce the population. Matter of fact, there was a professor down in Austin, Texas, a couple weeks ago.
Oh, very scary guy.
Yeah, who said, you know, I want to see, you know, billions of people gone off the face of this planet to preserve this planet for other people.
Well, he and the Illuminati, huh?
Yeah, exactly. You've been listening. But what do we do when you do preserve, when medicine does preserve, and I think you will, the lifespan of people, 100 years old, 121, but we have no jobs, we have no economy to sustain them. What
well,
happens?
That's a very interesting point, George. And you're a real bright guy because you've really hit on perhaps the only criticism, valid criticism of anti-aging medical science that I have heard in the many years I've been involved and really been at the, you know, probably the primary physician spokesman for the entire profession. However, the really bad news for people who take that position is that anti-aging medicine is really a win-win-win-win-win-win-win scenario if you can get past the soundbite. Let me tell you why.
Yeah, please.
If we look at medical care in the first world, in the G8 countries, life expectancy is ratcheting upward and has been ratcheting upward for the last 150 years. Realize in the United States in the year 1900, life expectancy was only 46, 47 years of age. Today, life expectancy in the U.S. is about 78 years of age.
So years gone back, I'd be gone by now.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. George. And if you're a girl born today, it's something like 80-something years of age. And if you're a girl born in Japan, it's over 85 years of age. So it continues to ratchet up. Now, interestingly, as life expectancy improves, okay, what you see happening as a social consequence of that is that families are getting smaller and smaller and smaller, so much so that much of the G8 nations, much of the first world nations, are in zero population growth or are actually in negative population growth. In Italy, the replacement numbers, you know, it's about 2.23 children per family, you know, as replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Italy, they're now producing about 1.4 children per family. In Germany, about 1.6. In Great Britain, about 1.7. In the United States, I think it's 1.7, 1.8. Now, that's native-born Americans. The only reason why America is expanding, or any of these countries are expanding in their population, is through immigration.
Right.
So what does that mean? It means that anti-aging technologies, okay, that are just basic right now, that have just been serendipity. They haven't happened because of non-purpose. They've happened by accident. They've been a gift. Anti-aging technologies have the social effect of making it more comfortable to have smaller families and have children later in life. Whereas in the third world, the more children you have, the more security you have in old age. And because of a high infant mortality rate, the more chance you have of seeing your children, you know, live long enough to support you in an old age.
Well, then it seems to me we're going to have, as a planet, a very ethical question, and that's going to be, what are you going to do about these regions of the planet that are overpopulating themselves?
Well, what I think is going to happen is, I think as these technologies trickle down from the first world to the third world, and it's already beginning to happen.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a natural pressure to have smaller families because you'll actually live a higher quality of life with a smaller family than you will with a larger family.
Do you see the curve where one day they predict 9 billion people, and then all of a sudden it starts going down naturally without any influence of other people or politics?
Actually, many demographers have predicted that, have already predicted that, not just not just us. And frankly, I don't have the credentials to predict that. I just report on what other people in the sciences are reporting in, as far as demographics go. But I think that we will not exceed the carrying capacity of the planet. I'm really convinced of that, and I think that the planet, the maximum human population will start to peak at about 9 billion, 10 billion people, and then will start to recede. And I think one of the reasons why it will recede is because of the pressure, thanks to these anti-aging technologies. People will understand that they can live a longer, healthier, happier lifespan with less children, and they will naturally tend towards a smaller family.